It's Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 18 that we're going to be looking at this morning. So I do hope you have a Bible open there, and we should ask God to help us before we look at what it says. Father, our desire is that we will grow to know you and to love you more and more, that we might grow in our trust in your Son Jesus and that we might live under his lordship. So we want to pray that you would teach us as we look at this passage from Colossians now. Help us to be the people that you want us to be, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no doubt that in your life you need to live in a way that backs up the position that you hold. We've seen this very clearly in the news over the last few weeks and months here in Sydney. You've no doubt heard the story about Milton Norcopoulos, former member of the New South Wales Parliament, who's just been released from jail after serving some time for crimes that he had committed. And he's going to be heading back there very soon, it looks like, for more historic crimes that he's committed that he will now be charged for. We've also seen the story of Dyson Heydon, former Justice of the High Court of Australia. A Justice of the High Court of Australia, and it's looking very much like his career is going to end in disgrace. Now, I mention all of this not in any way to criticise those two men. I say it because we've reached the point in Colossians today where Paul is wanting to talk about the lives that we live. And he wants to challenge us to ensure that we live a life that reflects the confidence that we have in Jesus. See, Paul knows, hands down, the thing that will reinforce the preaching of the gospel will be the life that we live. And the thing that has the greatest potential to undermine the preaching of the gospel is the life that we live. Paul's not alone in thinking this. Jesus said much the same thing. He said, people should know that you are my followers because they see it in the lives that you live. Now, as we look through this passage, Paul wants us to do three things. He wants us to look up, he wants us to put to death, and he wants us to clothe ourselves. So let's start with looking up. He begins by telling us where we need to have our eyes fixed, and that's up. Chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I remember seeing an interview a few years ago with a champion marathon runner. And the interviewer asked him all the usual questions that you'd want to ask someone who runs 42 kilometres in around about 2 hours, you know, questions about stamina and diet and training. But then the interviewer said, what do you think of when you're running the race? What do you set your mind on that keeps you going? And without any hesitation, the runner came straight back with the answer and said, the finishing line. I keep imagining what it will be like to cross the finishing line. Now, in a way, that's what Paul's saying here, isn't it? Keep your eyes fixed on the finishing line. Keep your eyes fixed on the day of Jesus' return, the day when we will be with him. And we are not just to set our eyes on that, we're to set our hearts on that, to set our hearts on things above, Paul says. The goal towards which we are moving, that's where Jesus is seated. And the opposite is also true. We are not to fix our minds on the things in this life. We're not to be consumed by all of the things that we have around us. We're not to act in a way that gives the impression that it's what's on earth that's most important to us, that that's the only real thing. Now, Paul says all of this in a few short verses. But what he says is not all that easy to do. I'm sure that it must be easy for a marathon runner to forget the finishing line. I mean, after all, he can't even see it from where the race starts. It's 42 kilometres away. And it must be so easy to start thinking about all of the things that are bothering you while you're out there running. How your feet are starting to feel sore and how you're feeling thirsty and tired and that you have so far to go. I know that those would be the things that would consume my mind if I was out running a marathon. But that's why the runner said he needs to keep thinking about the finishing line so that he won't get caught up with all of those other things that will only slow him down and discourage him. And the same is true for us in the Christian life. We need to keep remembering this is not all there is to life. Keep remembering that Jesus will come again. And don't be consumed or fixated by the things of this life. See, what Paul is saying is that there will be earthly things that will slow us down in our race. It's often the things that we think are going to complete us or make us whole. Things like acquiring money or possessions, or establishing a certain lifestyle, or working on significant relationships that we may have. Paul uses some pretty strong language saying that there are things in our lives that we may need to put to death. Look at it there. Pick it up in verse number 5 of chapter 3. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. That's pretty tough stuff, isn't it? Put to death, Paul says. God will let you have it with both barrels, doesn't he? He says that we are to rid ourselves of those things that are part of our sinful nature. We are to put to death whatever belongs to that earthly nature, whatever it is that might hinder us from following Jesus. Let me get back to the marathon runner. Have you ever noticed when you watch a marathon that the marathon runners are never running with a backpack on? They don't put their tracksuit pants on just in case it turns cold later on in the race. They have the absolute bare minimum. Lightweight clothing, lightweight shoes. They don't want to carry anything that's going to slow them down or make them have to run harder. And that's exactly what Paul says here. So what do you think the things are that might hold you back in your Christian life? I'm sure Paul isn't trying to give us an exhaustive list of things here. But he says that it could be things like sexual immorality or impurity or lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lying. Now let's be clear. Paul is talking here to Christians. This isn't advice to those outside the church if you want to clean up your act before you come and join us. He's talking to those who already trust in Jesus. And Paul says, not just here, but in other passages in the New Testament as well, that we are going to struggle with our sinful nature. That earthly nature is going to kind of keep nudging us in the wrong direction. Now, you may not struggle with all of those things, but I'm sure that you struggle with some things. Well, Paul says that it's time to stop. Allowing your earthly nature to continue to have the upper hand is not how you say thank you to God. So what is it for you? Have a look at that list again. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. Or maybe something else that's not on that list. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's your mouth, the way that you speak unkindly to others or perhaps about others. Maybe greed. Maybe it's not something that's on that list. But I'm sure you know what those things are in your life. And if you think that there isn't anything in your life, if you think that there are no traces of your earthly nature at work in your life, can I get you to do something? Can you call the office at the church here? They'll give you my phone number and we can at least start a conversation about your pride and what you might be able to do to work on that. Paul says that we need to be aware that our earthly nature is still there and it's going to keep nudging us in that wrong direction and we need to keep dealing with it. Probably the worst job that I've ever had in my life was working in a foundry. I worked in a section of the foundry where we made cast iron grates to go over the top of drains. Now, the work itself was actually okay. It was hot and tough, but it was okay. The terrible part was that you'd got so dirty. You're shoveling around this black sand and coal dust all day, and while you're doing it, you don't even really notice how dirty you are. But when you've finished work, you are filthy, head to toe. My hair was black, my face was black. If I blew my nose, there'd be this black gunk that would come out. And the nicest part of the day was stepping into a hot shower. When I got home, I actually had to take my clothes off in the laundry and leave them there. They were so filthy, and then make my way into the shower. There was nothing quite like that feeling of the shower and coming out clean. And that's the image Paul wants us to work with. He talks about putting off one lot of clothing and putting on another. Verse 9, chapter 3. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. And then down to verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When I worked in the foundry, it would have been absolutely stupid to have a shower and then go back out to the laundry and put those dirty clothes back on. Paul doesn't just give us a list of don'ts in this passage. He gives us a list of do's as well. Things that we should do in order to say thank you to God in the lives that we live. We've changed. When we came to trust in Jesus, we've been transformed. And we should be continuing to clothe ourselves with, did you see the five words that he uses there in verse 12? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's the new self. That's part of you being renewed in the image of God. They're characteristics that God has. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. That's the new part of you that you need to cultivate. That's the new outfit that you are to wear. It's funny, isn't it? I look at those five words, and I can't help but think that our society would probably think that at least a couple of them are weaknesses, not things that we should be striving for. I mean, humility and gentleness, they're probably not things that you're going to be encouraged to strive after or desire. But I suppose it's the difference between heavenly values and earthly values. It's the difference between fixing your eyes on heaven and fixing your eyes on earth. See, when you look to heaven, when you look at God, and when you look at what he's done for us in Jesus, those five words sum it up beautifully. Compassion, kindness, humility, Jesus coming into this world and suffering and dying on a cross, gentleness, and patience. And if you're serious about saying thank you to God, then that's the way that you'll live. If you're serious about living a life of thankfulness, then you'll gladly clothe yourselves in those things. And there's one more thing that Paul says we ought to do, and it comes from what it is that we have our minds fixed on. Chapter 3, verse number 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of the one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. You see what Paul says there? The Christian life is about being thankful. It's about gratitude to God for what it is that he has done. And it's about doing it together. We do this together. We do it for the sake of each other, and we do it together. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You remember every day that Jesus is Lord and King, that he is the one that you follow, that he is the one that you serve, that he is the one that you want to be like. So here's the challenge. Is your Christian life one that is clearly saying thank you to God for all that he has done? And we go to verse 16 again. Let the word of Christ dwell among you as richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's not just about singing a song. That's about living a life. Thankfulness is all about knowing what it is that God has done for you and then living a life that reflects your thankfulness. Where do you think your life is still most influenced by what Paul would call your earthly nature? He's told us in no uncertain terms how we're to deal with it, where to put it to death. I'm sure he's chosen those words for their shock value. And let's face it, sometimes we do need to be shocked in our thinking. What are the parts of your earthly nature that are still a little too prominent? And as you go into this week, keep thinking about how it is that you can say thank you to God in the life that you live. We're going to pray together. Our God and Heavenly Father, we know that we have so much to thank you for. Each one of us can think about the things that you have done for us in our lives, and we know that we should be thankful for those. But above all, we should be thankful for the incredible gift that you have given us in your Son, that through him we have forgiveness and life, and through him we will share with you in eternity. We want to pray that you would teach us more and more to live lives of thankfulness, that we would think about the life that we live and think about those areas that don't demonstrate our thankfulness to you. Help us to change. Help us to be transformed so that we might show out that kindness and compassion and gentleness and patience, that we might be people who reflect your character in this world. We pray these things in the name of your Son and our Saviour, Jesus. Amen.